This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Before we begin, just a quick reminder, we don't have a lot of water today, so if you're making wudu here at the masjid, please just make the fard of wudu, right? Don't use a lot of water, because we need it to last for all the musallis who come in late as well. So those who are making wudu in the masjid, please just do the fard, just do the basics, so that, you know, which is basically your face, your arms, masa, and your feet, so that there's enough water for everybody. Today's topic is supposed to be a happy topic. We're supposed to be talking about happy homes and you know, our families, and making sure our families are happy. I was actually thinking twice about the topic and maybe changing it, but then I realized maybe we do need some happiness. Very tragic event took place earlier today. We are, alhamdulillah, here for Jummah. A few hours ago, Jummah in New Zealand, there was a massacre of Muslims who were praying, and we ask Allah to accept their deaths as martyrdom and to bring justice to the person who did it and to those who influenced him. And we ask Allah to restore power and dignity to this ummah, so we don't have to suffer this kind of humiliation any longer. It's really, really difficult, you know, to read about the things that happened to the ummah throughout the world. We in South Africa need to be very grateful for the fact that we have freedom of religion. And for the most part, we are safe from Islamophobia compared to other countries. But we should make dua for our brothers living in those countries, and even for ourselves, that things don't get worse, or things don't change for the worse. And, you know, just remember these people in their duas, their families as well. May Allah accept their deeds and accept their debts as a good debt, and may He bring justice to the murderer and prevent such murders from occurring in the future. So today's topic, I wanted to speak about the importance of family. And this is a very important topic, because for many of us, when we think about Islam, we think about the rituals, you know, praying five times a day, fasting, zakah. We think about the dress code, you know, how we dress, the hijab, the customary dress for men, the beard. But we don't as often talk about something which is emphasized a lot in the sunnah, and that's our treatment of our families. And so today's discussion is going to be a very hadith-heavy discussion. What I'm basically going to do is, I'm going to narrate a lot of hadiths. And from each hadith, I'm going to show us how to have a happy home. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best role model. As a spouse, as a parent, in every possible way, he was the best role model. And so, when we learn about how he was with his wives, with his children, with the other people who lived in his home, then we can emulate that in our own homes. And it's a sad reality that we live in a time where almost every week you hear of a case of somebody who has a big beard, he wears a kurta and top, he goes to the masjid five times a day, but he's violent and abusive to his wife and children, and he's a monster at home. May Allah protect us. I hope there's none of us over here like that, but if you are, you have to really, really, really introspect as to what kind of Islam have you studied. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had never hit a woman or child in his life. That's our role model, that's the sunnah. So for a man to think that Islam is just restricted to how he behaves in the masjid, you know, you're only fooling yourself. In the day of judgment, you'd be responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for how you treated your family. And so we begin with the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he said, "Khayrukum khayrukum li ahlikum, ana khayrukum li ahli." The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the best of you are those who are best to their families, and I am the best to my family. So there's two parts of this hadith. The first part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, if you want to know who are the best of Muslims, who are the best of people, look at how people treat their wives and children, how they treat their family members. This is the test for who really is the best, because it is very easy to pretend to be pious in the masjid. It is very easy to put on a show for the community, to wear the kurta and to grow a beard, to stand in the front saf, to cry in the front saf. It's very easy to do these things. But at home, that's where we let our guard down. That's when we are our real selves. And that is why a man's wife and children are the real testimony to the type of person he is. If a man's wife has nothing but good to say about him, understand he truly is a good man, because she knows all his secrets. She knows all his weaknesses. So if she praises him and loves him and talks about him honorably, then he truly must be the best of men. The second part of the hadith is why our topic is so heavily focused on hadith today. The Prophet ﷺ said, "I am the best of you to my family." Meaning, the best human being in the history of this world in the treatment of family members is Rasulullah ﷺ. So if we want to learn, how do we treat our families? How do we treat our wife? How do we treat our children? How do we treat any members of our family? Who do we look at? We look at Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We look at how he treated his wife and children, and we emulate that. This is the sunnah. You know, we emphasize the wrong kind of sunnah these days. We're very, very strict about the kurta. And in reality, Rasulullah ﷺ never said anything about the kurta. He didn't. We're very strict about the topi. He never mentioned anything about the topi. But we're very strict about it. If someone comes to our masjid, you know, wearing these things, we pick on them and we fight with them as if this is, you know, one of the five pillars of Islam. But when it comes to the sunnah of the best of you or best to your family, many of us throw this out the window. We don't even think about it. We don't even, you know, nowadays it seems that many people who claim to be practicing Muslims are the worst of people to their families. May Allah protect us from ever being like that. So I want to narrate some hadiths. And from each hadith, we learn how to be with our families. And by families, I'm referring primarily to our spouse and our children. And I know the sisters are in attendance soon. I'm talking primarily to the men. It's because in general, most of the sisters I have met are, alhamdulillah, good mothers and good wives. And a lot of brothers have a lot of room for improvement. Sisters have room for improvement as well. But a lot of my focus is going to be on the men today. Right? But sisters, pay attention as well, because these lessons apply both ways. Whatever I'm going to mention, it applies to being a good mother or a good father, a good husband or a good wife. So everybody can benefit, even though I may be primarily addressing the men. The first hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one day he was sitting with the Sahaba in public. And his grandson came up to him. His grandson was a baby, like 2 or 3 years old. And he picked him up and he kissed him. He picked up his grandson in front of all the Sahaba and he kissed him. One of the Bedouins who was sitting there commented. He told the Prophet ﷺ, "I have 10 sons. I've never kissed them in my life." The Prophet ﷺ, there's two narrations. In one narration he said, "What can I do if Allah remove mercy from your heart?" In the other narration, and this is the one I want to focus on, the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever does not show mercy will not be shown mercy. Man la yarham la yurham." Whoever does not show affection will not be shown affection. Now this hadith gives us the primary rule in Islam for being the best to our families. And that is number one, show them affection. You know, very often when we counsel teenagers or Muslims who are in the early 20s, you know, they tell us, "My father never once in my life told me he loved me. All he ever does is criticize me. You know, if I get an A, he criticizes, why you never get an A+. If I get a B, why didn't you get an A? You know, if I get a job, why didn't you get a better job?" This is the relationship between the father and child. This is not the sunnah. This is not how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was with his children. The fact that many of us have never kissed our children, never hugged them, never told them that we love them, this is the practice of the Jahili Bedouin that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was correcting. Not the practice of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself. His practice was to show love and affection to his spouses and children, and he would show that affection to his children even in public. He did not feel ashamed to pick up his grandchild and kiss his grandchild in public. And the other hadiths that clearly show that the Prophet ﷺ showed affection to his family members. For example, when one of the Sahaba came to Rasulullah ﷺ and said, "O Rasulullah, who do you love the most?" Rasulullah ﷺ said, "Aisha." How many men today, if another guy asks you, who do you love the most, you're going to mention your wife's name? Right? This is publicly showing his affection for his wife. In another hadith, or rather a narration of one of the Sahaba, an Athar, Aisha radiallahu anha, this is many years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away. Aisha radiallahu anha, she was sitting in her nephew's house. And her nephew was married to her niece in terms of they were distant cousins, like second cousins. So they both were in terms like her nephew and her niece. So she knew both of them personally. One was like from her father's side of the family and the other from her mother's side of the family. But basically, they were distant cousins to each other and they both knew her as their auntie. They both grew up under her. So she had a very open and frank relationship with both of them. So it was in the month of Ramadan, her nephew comes home, he greets his wife and his auntie and he heads towards, you know, to eat. So Aisha tells his nephew, and this is in the Muwatta of Imam Malik, she tells his nephew, her nephew, why didn't you kiss your wife? You walk in the house, you never kiss her. And he said, I'm fasting. So she turns to him and says, the Prophet ﷺ used to kiss me when he was fasting. The hadith is in the Muwatta of Imam Malik in the chapter, are you allowed to kiss your wife in fasting? But I don't want us to look at it from a fiqh perspective. I want us to look at it from the perspective that Aisha radiallahu anha, many years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, she still remembered the affection he used to show her. And she tried to teach it to her nephews and nieces and to the next generation of Muslims. She tried to pass along this, that this relationship between the husband and wife is very important. And again, many sisters these days complain that the husbands are very rough with them. They don't show them affection. You know, many of us, for some reason, we think it's masculine, you know, to not show affection to our wives. That's not what Islam teaches. That's not the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or the sahaba, even Umar radiallahu anhu. Many of us, you know, we think of Umar as this rough, tough guy that we're trying to emulate. But it was Umar radiallahu anhu who advised men to be like a child when you're with your wife and children, but to be manly in public. Meaning you're supposed to have two different personalities. In public, we are manly men. Yes, that's fine. But when you're at home, you need to be softer. You need to be gentler. You need to be more loving. You need to have that kind of personality in private. And many of us are lacking this. So the number one principle that we take from this hadith is that when it comes to our wives and children, we must show them affection. What is the repercussion of us not showing them affection? Not showing them affection? It's in the hadith. Man la yarham la yurham. Whoever does not show affection will not be shown affection. As you treat others, you shall be treated. Meaning, if a man is abusive to his children, he hits them, he shouts them, he criticizes them, he never once in his life tells them that he loves them, he doesn't hug them, he doesn't play with them, he doesn't have any relationship with them. When they grow up, can he expect them to love him, to want to spend time with him, to want to hang out with him, to want to look after him? They're not going to have that relationship where they're going to want to do that. Islamically, they must do that, but they're not going to have the relationship where they're going to want to do that. Why? Because affection breeds affection. Violence breeds violence. And so, if we want our children to be affectionate to us, it starts with us being affectionate to them. Whoever shows mercy shall be shown mercy. How you treat your children is the type of people they're going to grow up to be. If you are cold towards them, they're going to be cold when they grow up. If you don't have affection towards them, they're not going to be affectionate towards you when they grow up. If you never told them that you love them, they're not going to say, I love you when they grow up. Why? Because that's the role model you wear to them. So we need to be very careful here. How we treat others is how we shall be treated. So my message to everybody is to think very, very carefully. What kind of relationship do I have with my spouse and my children? Am I the kind of person who they look forward to me coming home? Or am I the kind of person who kids can't wait for me to go to work so they don't have to see my face for the rest of the day? Which side do we fall on? It's a very, very important thing to think about. The next hadith, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is narrated that when Aisha radiallahu anha raised, that when she was young, she ran a race with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a private place where no man could see her, and she beat him. As she got older and she picked up a bit of weight, they had a race again, and this time he beat her. And he told her, this is for that. In another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, when he came back for one of his journeys, he saw his small grandson, about 3 or 4 years old, running around. So he started chasing him. And started chasing him and saying the Arabic equivalent of, you little rascal, you little rascal. And the child started laughing. In a third hadith, the Prophet ﷺ was once sitting with his wife Aisha in their home on the day of Eid. And there were some other young girls there playing with the drum and singing. And Abu Bakr came in and started shouting those girls. And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Leave them. Let the disbelievers see that we also have fun. That there's relaxation in our religion." All three of these hadiths all have teach us one point. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the most serious man to have ever lived, do the most serious job of all time. He was the prophet, the teacher, the political leader, the commander of the armies. He was all of this. But he made time to have fun with his wife. He had made time to have fun with his children and grandchildren. He wasn't a boring husband or a boring father or a boring grandfather. He was the fun type. He was the kind of person who children looked forward to spending time with him. That was the kind of person he was. Children looked forward to spending time with him. His wives looked forward to spending time with him. He was easygoing in the home. He was someone who you wanted to spend time around. One of the children who grew up around the Prophet ﷺ stated that when we first saw the Prophet, we were full of awe of him. Then once we spent time with him, we didn't want to leave his side. Because he was such a nice, friendly, easygoing person. And so, the point I'm trying to get to here is that how many of us spend quality time with our spouses? Again, it's part of the sunnah. To spend quality time with your spouse is part of the sunnah. You know, sometimes a man wants to do the bare minimum. You have some brothers that come to you and say, "In Islam, I just have to give my wife shelter, food and clothing. That's all. Right? I don't have to give her anything more." They say things like this. If you're saying something like this, there's something wrong with you, really. You really think you can make a relationship work by doing the bare minimum? As Muslims, you're supposed to strive to be the best, not to do the bare minimum. You think any wife today is going to settle for just shelter, food and clothing? Not even 1,000 years ago would they settle for that. Because that's not what a woman wants from a man. She wants to feel loved, she wants to feel secure, she wants to feel happy, she wants to feel appreciated. If you don't give her all these things, food, shelter, clothing, she can get it herself these days. She doesn't need you for that. So, my message from this hadith is spend quality time with your spouse. Spend quality time with your children. These days we live very busy lives. Some of us work two jobs. Some of us have multiple businesses. Some of us are like, we're studying and working at the same time. Our children are going to school and madrasa and after school activities. And many of us don't see each other, you know. In some families, the husband is working, the wife is working, the children are at school, and, you know, they come home at different hours. And then what happens is, we grow up as strangers to each other. Many Muslims in the home, the husband and wife don't know each other, the parents and children don't know each other. This is not the sunnah. Quality time. The bare minimum quality time, at least one meal have as a family together. Even if it's just supper, sit together as a family, talk to each other, get to know each other, spend quality time with each other. This is something your spouse and children will appreciate in the long run. These are the things they remember when they grow older. But if you don't do this, then relationships drift apart. And that's when problems start. When we are not making an effort to spend quality time with our families, that's when we drift apart from each other. So 2 points we mentioned thus far. The Prophet ﷺ was very affectionate to his spouse and children. And he spent quality time with them and he played with them and he had fun with them. Right? Another hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, on the day of Eid, some of the Abyssinians were doing a play with their spears in the masjid and he took Aisha to watch it. And he did not leave until she got tired. Even though he was tired much earlier than her because he was much older than her. But he waited until she had finished enjoying the show before going home. How many of us have that kind of consideration for our spouse to even do anything fun with them? Again, you know, some of us have this strange idea that fun is not part of Islam or that we need to be serious all the time to be Muslims. No. Balance. A time for this, a time for that. Those are the words of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a translation of what he said to one of the Sahaba. He said, a time for this and a time for that. Time for ibadah, time for having fun, time for being with your spouse and children, time for sleeping, time for eating. Balance. Live a balanced life. The next hadith. The Prophet ﷺ, when his daughter Fatima used to come to visit him, this was after she had grown up, he would get up from his chair, he would go to greet her, and he would let her sit in his place So in those days, they didn't have sofas like we have today. They would have like a pillow on the floor where people used to sit. But when Rasulullah's daughter would come to visit him, he would get up and offer her his place to sit. What does this tell us about the relationship between parent and child? You see that Rasulullah he treated his children with a level of value. He made them feel respected. He made them feel valued. He made them feel safe. He made them feel appreciated. Right? You know, a woman whose father treats her in this way is not going to go astray, because she has self-confidence because her father treats her so well. It's not just in his treatment of his children that we see Rasulullah doing these kind of respect and value. We see it even in his talking about his wives. Rasulullah, when you read the hadiths about Khadija, the praise he had for Khadija, he would not let a single person say a bad word about her, even if it was another one of his wives later on. He would not tolerate that, because his wife's name had respect. Some of us speak badly about our own spouses to our friends. Rasulullah ﷺ will not even let someone say something bad about his wife 10 years after she died. That was the level of respect and value and love that he had for his spouse. Again, this is something we need to revive. That we, as a community, how do we treat our wives and children? Do they feel valued? Do they feel appreciated? Do they feel confident? Do they feel like we appreciate the role they play in our lives? And there are many ways you can show this. You can show this sometimes with affection, hugging them. You can show it with appreciation, thanking them. You can show it through a word of encouragement. Your child didn't do too well in a test. Tell him you tried your best. Maybe if you work harder together next time, you can do better. Not shout him and throw the paper at his face and call him an idiot. That's not the sunnah. Right? That's not our religion. What's more important, your child's iman or the grade on a piece of paper? Think about it. What's more important, your relationship with that child or whether he got all A's in school? We need to think about these things. We become too hard-hearted, which is completely, completely against the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We're running out of time. I still got two more hadiths to go through, so I'm just going to go through them very, very quickly. Abdullah ibn Abbas was the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's cousin, but he was much younger than him. So he was more like, the relationship was more like an uncle and nephew. Because, put it this way, when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in his 50s, Abdullah was in his was a teenager, or a child. So, they had a relationship where Abdullah ibn Abbas looked up to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was like a parental figure to him. So once Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he and Abbas were riding on the camel together. And he told him a very beautiful hadith. I did an entire Jummah lecture on this hadith before, so I won't go into details about it. But he basically told him that I'm going to teach you some words, to remember. That be mindful of Allah and Allah will be there for you. Worship Allah in the good times, Allah will be there for you in the difficult times. And he gave him a lot of valuable advice. And one of the reasons that Abdullah ibn Abbas remembered this advice is that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is what we call in modern terms creating teachable moments, where in your relationship with your family, when you find an opportunity to teach them something, you take advantage of it. Right? Something happens. So for example, maybe two of your kids had a fight over something. You can do it, you can deal with that fight by being harsh and violent, or you can deal with that fight by sitting them down and teaching them how to resolve conflict. Make it a teachable moment. Conflict resolution. Right? They take it a moment to teach them that. One of your kids were late for school or late with an assignment. You can shout them for that, not very productive, or you can make it a teachable moment to teach them time management. Right? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in his relationship with young people, he would create these teachable moments. He would make these points where he would teach them something that they would remember for the rest of their lives. And he would teach it in the nicest and gentlest way possible. We need to create these moments with our children, so that even in 20, 30, 40 years time, they still remember it and they still practice it and they still follow it. But that only comes from a place of love. They're only going to remember it if it comes from a place of love. The final hadith that I wanted to mention is again not by a child of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but a child that lived with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this was a child who lived with him and experienced life in his household, Anas ibn Malik. Anas ibn Malik, when he was 10 years old, his mother sent him to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and serve him, so that he can, you know, benefit from having a close relationship with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Anas, there's two narrations from him that are important to you. The first one, he says that never in my life did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ever shout me or say a bad word to me. I remember he was 10 years old when he went to live with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And some of you may say, but yeah, he was Anas ibn Malik, he probably didn't do anything wrong, right? Well, that takes us to the second hadith. Once the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave Anas some money. And he told him to go out of the house and do some chore with him, to go buy something from the marketplace with the money. Right? So he gave this 11-year-old a chore to do. And Anas leaves the house. And on his way to the marketplace, he sees some children playing. He forgets why he left the house, and he starts playing with those children. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is waiting for him, wondering when, what time he's going to come back. So he decides to go out and look for him. He sees him playing with his children. So Anas sees the Prophet and immediately remembers why he left the house, and he gets scared. So the Prophet ﷺ simply laughs and asks him for the money so he can continue playing with the children, and the Prophet ﷺ can go buy it himself. Anas searches his pockets and realizes he lost the money. So the Prophet ﷺ simply laughs about it and lets him go play with the children and get some other money to go buy the groceries or whatever it was they were supposed to buy. The point from this hadith is that your spouse, your children, the people around you are human beings. They have mistakes and faults, just like you do. Some of us blow our spouse and children's faults out of proportion while ignoring our own. And the only way to live with anybody in this world is to learn to overlook the small things. People are going to make mistakes. People are going to forget. People are going to say things they don't mean. You know, people are going to lose things. People are going to make mistakes all the time. This is just life. This is normal. You haven't married an angel. You know, sometimes people come to you and they want divorce over the silliest of reasons. You know, things which are just a part of life and which you're going to experience in your marriage to anybody. And sometimes people break relationships with their children over the smallest of mistakes. So the sunnah is to be more easygoing. The bigger sins, yes, you talk about it. You teach them tawbah, you teach them istighfar, you teach them how to get back to Allah. You don't disown them, you don't break ties with them. You show them the way back to Allah. The smaller stuff, let it go. Let it go. They're human, they're going to make mistakes. Your children especially are going to make mistakes because they are still growing up. They don't know what you know. They don't have your life experience. So how can you expect them to do things perfectly? So learn to let things go. To summarize, today's presentation was about the hadith. The best of you are those who are best to their families. And the Prophet ﷺ said about himself, I am the best of you to my family. So we looked at how he treated his family. We learned that the Rasulullah ﷺ was very affectionate to his family members. He would hug them, he would kiss them, he would say that he loved them. We know that he made quality time for them. He had fun with them, he played with them. He valued them and respected them. He wouldn't let people talk bad about him even after they had passed away many years later. We know that he created teachable moments in his life and his relationship with them, because we are supposed to be teaching each other all the time, especially in a family. And finally, we know that he overlooked the small mistakes and the human flaws, because everybody makes mistakes. And if we can apply these principles to our lives, if we can revive these sunnahs in our homes, then we can revive the sunnah of having a happy home. We can revive the sunnah of having smiling spouses and children waiting for us at home when we get back home. Not people running to hide because the scary father or scary mother is coming home. Don't be that kind of person. Follow the sunnah. Be the kind of spouse or the kind of parent that your spouse and children are happy to see you. And they want to be with you. And they're not waiting for you to die. May Allah protect us all from tyranny, from becoming the worst versions of ourselves, from mistreating others. May Allah soften our hearts, make us righteous, make us good people, make us from those who follow the sunnah in every aspect of our lives. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the ummah from harm. We know that a great tragedy occurred today in New Zealand. May Allah protect this ummah from something like ever happening again. Bring back our honor and dignity and power to this ummah. And may Allah accept those who were murdered today during Jummah in New Zealand as martyrs, and may He bring justice to the murderer and to anyone who motivated him to commit such an atrocity, and prevent this from ever happening again. Wa akhir da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.